Good morning and welcome to Community Chat. I'm your host, Ralph Lynch, and the program brought to us, of course, each and every week by our good friends at Baker's Furniture here in Tahlequah. My goodness, they've got all sorts of stuff, and with the fall season and winter approaching now, and the holidays, of course, forthcoming, you'll be wanting to do some things around the house, maybe do some redecorating, maybe get some new furniture in, maybe you're going to have guests in, you're going to need a better, bigger table for Thanksgiving or whatever. You go by Baker's Furniture here in Tahlequah, and they're located at 3231 South Muskogee in Tahlequah. And that is where you get the best for less. And they're also Tahlequah's number one furniture store, as voted recently again, many times over. Our special guest today is Tara Webb. We had Tara on, I guess, probably a year or so ago. And she is with the Muskogee School for the Blind. And I think most everybody has heard of it. They don't really know what goes on there. They don't know for sure where it's located, other than the fact it is in Muskogee. And we're going to find out about that. Plus, of course, the main reason we have her on today is we're going to be talking about a fundraiser coming up. The band Ricochet and Becky Hobbs. We'll be over there to help raise some funds for the Muskogee School for the Blind. And Tara, welcome, and it's good to have you. We enjoyed having you on last time and talked about the school. Give us a little background. What's going on?
Well, absolutely. I'm so glad to be back on the radio. I really enjoy getting to come out and talk about our amazing school. The Oklahoma School for the Blind is located in Muskogee, but we serve the entire state of Oklahoma. Students who are identified as having visual impairment, which is varying levels of visual impairment, up to the level of complete blindness, are served pre-K through past high school, actually. We have a transition program that will keep them past their senior year. And we have the most amazing technology and resources that lead us to help these kiddos have the best education they can have with the visual impairments that life has afforded them.
And we're having a little bit of problem with the microphone for some reason. I don't know, it kind of comes and goes. So if you'll talk straight into it, maybe that'll correct some of it. I don't know.
Yes, sir.
I didn't anticipate having that problem. We came on the air. You have been involved with the School for the Blind. You might tell us how that came about, how long you've been with them.
Oh, absolutely. So I started working at the Oklahoma School for the Blind just shortly after I graduated from Northeastern State University. I went to the School for the Blind for some work in college, fell in love, and then the position happened to come open the year I graduated. So This is year 26 at the Oklahoma School for the Blind. I have taught physical education pre-K through 12, math 8th grade through high school, life skills. I'm the athletic director now. I coach track, Special Olympics, and I have coached cheerleading in the past.
Was your schooling from the athletic side or teaching side?
So when I went to Northeastern State, I knew I wanted to be a teacher, and I studied to be a physical education teacher with a mathematics minor. I really didn't know what I wanted to do until I started volunteering over there, and I fell in love, and it is definitely my home place.
The school itself, is it a fairly large school? As I recall, is it the only one in the state?
It is the only school for the blind in the state of Oklahoma. There is a school for the deaf, and it is in Sulphur, Oklahoma. But the school in Muskogee, we vary from 85 to 100 students that actually attend our campus. Then students who are in their home districts, we have an outreach program that goes to the school districts to work with students who are visually impaired.
The enrollment or the students that are there, are they Do we see the number increasing or decreasing as time goes on with maybe better prenatal health care and that?
Well, that's a really hard thing for me to, I guess, quantify. Visual impairment is such a wide range of causes and effects from things. We're never going to lose the fact that some kiddos are going to have cancer, or some kiddos may be involved in an injury that takes that visual impairment. We do find that the more advanced medical care might be helping to decrease some numbers, but the amount of students with visual impairment has stayed pretty steady in the state of Oklahoma.
I know you mentioned the School for the Deaf, and our good friend Herb Rosell, who was state senator for quite some time, he developed some kind of a ruling, I think, where all of the infants are checked for hearing before they leave the hospital.
I believe hearing and vision is tested in the hospital, and then I know it's also still a part of the enrollment process into the public education. Every school district must do an initial hearing and vision screening to see if there is potential issues.
Do the blind students rely on the proverbial white cane? Do they have guide dogs? How do they get around?
Oh, excellent question. So the School for the Blind has an orientation mobility specialist. Actually, we have two full-time specialists on our campus who make the evaluation to determine whether or not a long white cane is appropriate. Mm-hmm. I would say 75% of our students do use a long white cane as their guide and their tool to make sure they're traveling safely, especially in the community, because not only does it provide them information about what they are navigating, but it provides information to the public that the child or the person may have a visual impairment. As far as guide dogs, we are, since our school is the way it is, we do not allow guide dogs on our campus. But we do provide the resources if students would like to apply for those once they are old enough and to be used like in their community at home.
When we talk about white cane, is there any significance to the fact that the cane has to be white?
No, actually, I have a couple of students who, one student has a really cool purple one. I have another student who has a really cool blue one. But I think the original intent was because that white is such a stark contrast against concrete and asphalt and things like that. So I think it was just an easy identifier. But I think the purpose of that long white cane is just really to provide them. If you and I are walking down the hallway, we can visually see if there happens to be a box in the way or a door that's open or closed.
Right.
And that cane gives the user a feedback by the touch.
Where is the school actually located? I was working your microphone when you first came on, and you may have mentioned it, but the location.
Oh, absolutely. We are located at 3300 South Muskogee, or Gibson Avenue in Muskogee. For those who are familiar with the Muskogee area, you barely have to come into town and hit Gibson Street off the bypass or take Country Club. And if you're really familiar, we have Civitan Park that's just across the street from us, the beautiful Civitan Park.
The facility itself, does it take up quite a bit of real estate?
Oh, yes, sir. We have, from one end, we've got a track that runs about a quarter mile to the main building. And then we have two different gymnasiums. We have a maintenance facility. We lead into our dorms. And then the centrally located area is the actual classrooms.
You mentioned athletics with the blind. Of course, they're limited in certain areas. Do you have, I think some of them use, for example, balls that make noise?
That is correct.
That type of thing.
Yeah, let me tell you, I'd love to talk about that because we are actually a member of something called the South Central Association of Schools for the Blind. And in that association, we compete against other schools for the blind. We'll either travel to their states or they will travel to us. Mm-hmm. And we do cheer and wrestling. The only thing that's modified for wrestling is they must stay locked up or touched. So if the two wrestlers break, the session stops for a second until they get reset. Mm-hmm. Cheerleading is just cheerleaders going out there for 3 minutes and doing their routine. Then my track is a little bit different. For track, I have some students who have to compete underneath a blindfold. And they do things like a standing long jump, a standing high jump, and a standing triple versus a running. Mm. And then they do running events where they either have a sighted guide or they run in an open field to a sound cue. But there is one really cool sport that we do participate in. It's called goal ball. And goal ball is a 3v3 that you use a large playground ball that has a bell in it. Everything must be quiet and all students are blindfolded and they roll that ball from one end of a court to another and try to get it past the other team. It's really cool and intense to watch.
I have heard and I firmly believe the fact that sometimes you lose one sense, others are heightened. And we see several blind people who are great musicians. They kind of gravitate toward that. Do you see that at Muskogee?
Well, we have a phenomenal jazz band. Mr. Farrell is our band director, and he starts working with those kiddos in pre-K and different musical type of genres and instruments. And then by the time they're in 6th, 7th grade, he has them on an instrument and is getting them ready for that high school jazz band. And I think the really cool part about musical instruments is the keys, the notes, the strings, all those things stay in one place. Mm-hmm. So once you learn your orientation to where you're at, it's easy to pick up and learn. So I think that's why musical instruments do so well with our kiddos, is because that's not changing. It's not moving. It's staying stagnant. Right. As long as they learn where their fingers need to be placed and how much air to put through. I'm not a musician, I'll give you that. So I think I'm speaking in the right way.
Well, I've dabbled playing the piano for many years, and I can understand. I actually can close my eyes a lot of times and play. And, of course, if you had to do that day in, day out, certainly you would get the right feel and so forth. What about music? Do they read music? Do they read it by Braille? How do they? Is it mostly by ear music?
So we have a lot of our kiddos actually have usable vision. It's just different than you and I, where we are not listed as visually impaired. So the students' music notes may be enlarged. Or Mr. Farrell, the band director, might sometimes just put what notes they need to be playing in order without it being on a signature or a tablet and that type of thing. Then our students who are without vision completely, there is something called Braille music. Very difficult to read and understand, but he has had a couple of students who were very capable of that and learned via that way. And then he often does provide them the audio cues of how to learn their notes.
You're talking about enlarged notes. Former friend of ours, we lost this last year, lived to be 103. But in his latter years, in fact, probably the last 20 years of his life, his vision was really impaired to the point he couldn't drive or anything. But he stayed active in the broadcasting business. And he had a little TV-type screen, and he had enlarged the letters and so forth on things he was trying to read, and maybe a sentence at a time or something like that. But yes, a lot of people are declared legally blind that are not necessarily totally blind.
Well, and like the School for the Blind, we have parameters that would qualify you as a visually impaired. And so it's things like 20 over 70 in your best corrected eye, a field loss, which might mean that you can see the center of your vision and not the peripheral to your left and right or up and down. Or it could be something like Stargardt's, which is a progressive disease. So the student, while they're at our school, may have really good vision, but the knowledge is they're going to lose their vision at some point. So we are there to help support them and get them ready for what's going to happen. And what you're speaking of is probably macular degeneration. Mm-hmm. And so and we often see that, or the glaucoma can come in, cataracts can come in, things with diabetes. So there's a lot of vision loss that can occur later in life. We also at the School for the Blind are a resource for those who are later in life. If they need help accessing their community or things at their home, we do have ways to provide resources for those.
Okay, we have used up all of our time and haven't even talked about the fundraiser, so we're going to extend our time here a minute or two. Tell us all about what's forthcoming.
Okay, so here's what's so exciting. We have an Upstart OSB, so Oklahoma School for the Blind Foundation, and the foundation has taken on a really exciting opportunity this year. November 13th, Ricochet will be headlining for the Oklahoma School for the Blind Foundation's concert with Becky Hobbs as their special guest. They're coming into the Civic Center in Muskogee, and every ticket sold is going back to that foundation. And what the foundation does is they support the teachers in the classroom. They support the children in the school. Just last year, even though they were an Upstart foundation, they provided scholarships to our valedictorian and salutatorian. They made sure that the teachers actually got a chance to have a little bit of a teacher appreciation time. Mm-hmm. Our school's very unique. We don't have a parent-teacher organization or a foundation that directly supported the school until this one started up. So it's a really, really cool, exciting time for us. And the problem is we're seeing is that we feel like maybe with the government shutdown or something's going on, our ticket sales aren't what we were really hoping for. So if you're willing to go out there and buy a ticket and support us, every bit of your ticket price goes towards the Oklahoma School for the Blind Foundation.
And again, the date is November 13th. That's correct. On a Thursday at the Muskogee Civic Center. Where might they get the tickets?
If you would go to either the Oklahoma School for the Blind Facebook page, or you go to Muskogee Civic Center's Facebook page. I believe I shared with your radio station too, possibly a QR code. But there are QR codes, or I think it's through Etix is the company that is actually supplying the tickets. But if you go through Muskogee Civic Center or the Oklahoma School for the Blind, you will find links to be able to purchase those tickets.
Well, I certainly appreciate the work you're doing and your willingness to come in, be with us on the program, and also the fundraiser. Be sure and help out. That's a great, great cause. And again, that's coming up November 13th at the Muskogee Civic Center. We want to thank you so much for joining us today here for Community Chat, brought to you by Baker's Furniture here in Tahlequah. Go by and see them. They got everything that you need, and as we say, they have the best for less, and they're Tahlequah's number one furniture dealer. Baker's Furniture, 3231 South Muskogee in Tahlequah. Join us again next week at the same time for Community Chat.